Okay, let's take a look at the basic instincts of man. No, we're not going to have any Lou pictures. I don't know, those might be dangerous. Yeah. Depends on who's going to be giving testimony. Some people may not show up. Please open the Bibles to the Epistle of Jude. Chapter 1. Only one chapter. What a powerfully hidden little book. It's much like the book of Habakkuk in that sense, because just have fun before we go on and everything, but what is the most dominant phrase throughout all the Bible that is in Habakkuk? Do you remember? Just shall live by faith. And it's there. And it's just in a hidden little book in the prophecy in the Old Testament of Habakkuk. And yet it's the profound message. And here we are in Jude, just a hidden little epistle. And yet so powerful in all of the things that the half-brother of our Lord is writing about. And this is powerful. Powerful stuff to me. This is one of the most delightful, enjoyable journeys of putting just more and more pieces of this whole puzzle, this whole spiritual learning, but just the whole puzzle. And this is just another part of seeing the spiritual warfare and why so many people just reject just faith and got to do something, even as Christians. It has amazed me coming out of my background spiritually, of those just, you know, it's got to be confession, and they just lambast faith. And I've heard preachers make some of the most unbelievable statements about faith, and then I say, well, I thought you were saved by it. Oh, well, as an unbeliever, but once you're a believer, it's not faith. And it just boggles my mind. And this puts more pieces of the puzzle. When it's our very basic instinct to want to perform for God and then want to be recognized for our performance and the fear of punishment if we don't. I think that's very powerful. And, well, let's get to work. Let's go into prayer and just allow the Holy Spirit to open our eyes, our ears, and to the things He would have us to see. I'm excited where I am at my age in the study of Scripture. I am so disheartened that I can say faithfully went to church and all. I don't know the age. I'm going to say 6, 7. I know saved at 7. I don't know what happened maybe before that, but 6, 7. And I know my mother's told me just, every time the church was meeting, I was there, and had a legitimate interest. And she'd get upset if the preacher would announce a deacon's meeting Thursday night, and I'd want to go Thursday night. I didn't understand what it was about. I just knew something was going on Thursday night, and he announced it. And well, then if he's announced it, I ought to be able to go there. I had a lawyer friend later on in life that he and I were good friends for a long time, and he just laughed. He just said, well, you're just religious. He said, you were just religious. But no one's ever taught me this. And I'm just sorry. Why it's opened up to us, I don't know. I'm thankful for it. I wish more wanted it. I wish more of even our own assembly wanted it. I mean that. But I'm thankful for you being here tonight. I'm thankful that you come and you have no problem with what we're doing here, because I just love what God is showing. And Jude is a powerful piece of the puzzle to me in understanding so much of what God is doing. And I'm serious, people. I I'm just amazed. I share this with so many different people, friends, close, distant, whatever, and yeah, it doesn't, I don't know. It doesn't make the impact it does with us. I'm sure if any of you've talked to people, you experience it yourselves. They just, yeah, it's important. I don't know. I don't know if they don't see. It is one of those things. You think you've taken a little step, and then you look back, and you've just walked over the Grand Canyon. That's how powerful this is. But this to me is just a powerful key of what we're seeing here and putting it together. So let's go into prayer and let's tap into the work of the Holy Spirit. Any prayer requests that I'm not aware of, real quick? Okay. Well, let's go into prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do praise you. Sorry we don't have an orchestra here. Sorry we don't have a choir of thousands to sing praises. We will do it all through eternity. The book of Revelation, over and over and over, many, many times, tells us of the angelic choruses singing your praises. And the more you open up, Heavenly Father, just how astounding your grace is. Just how antithetical it is to our ways. Your ways are not our ways, and our very nature, our flesh nature. We just praise you, God, for revealing these things to us. And it's so difficult even seeing it, Heavenly Father, just to walk moment by moment in the power of your Spirit. The flesh is always usurping. Not just for bad, but for good in the human realm. And so, Father, we pray that tonight your Spirit will just cause us to see some more of what's going on. Just help us to understand ourselves. Help us to understand our own flesh nature. Understand why we have so much trouble here in dealing with ourselves and dealing with one another, dealing with circumstances, our flesh and our arrogance and our shame and our guilt and all the things that come as a result of living in the flesh. Father, pray that your Spirit will cause these things to cause us to want to abide, to a desire to abide in your love, as Christ tells us in John 15, abide in my love. Just live there. And there'll be no stress and anxiety and depression, guilt and shame and arrogance and pride. There'll be joy. So, Father, pray that your Spirit will open up these passages to us, that we can see these things. Father, protect us from the powers of darkness that have interpreted these passages so differently and don't want us to see what's really here, what's hidden. So, Father, we pray now these things in Christ's name. Amen. Jude chapter 1, verse 10 is where we are. But these men revile the things which they do not understand. That's pretty powerful. They revile the things they do not understand. They attack Satan and they don't even understand Satan and they do his work. And the things which they know, get it now, know by instinct. Look what it'll do to them. Look what the things that we know by instinct will do to us. Like unreasoning animals, by these things that we know by instinct, destroyed. So this is a powerful thing. Now, just tapping in now, get our juices going from last week. I don't want to be redundant. I want to move on. What do we know by instinct? This is what we're looking at. And people, this here lies the foundation of all religion. Why so many refuse grace through faith for either salvation one, eternal life, or even salvation two, living the spiritual life, being restored from sin, living the Christian life, growing and being blessed of God. People, by instinct we know law. By instinct we know performance. I saw an advertisement this last couple of days. with Rod and James here, we had the TV on a lot while we were talking and having fun and just being around the house. And they had an advertising, some movie coming out. And they even talked about, it was about sex and the instinct of man's going to destroy this guy in this movie. And we just looked at each other, James and I, and just laughed because it's not the basic instinct, but that's what Hollywood wants us to believe, and that's what many preachers think it is. And that's what Satan wants us to think it is. He doesn't want you to know what your basic instinct is. But God reveals it to us. Our basic instinct is performance. And along with that, to be rewarded for our performance. And maybe even more destructive, we know by instinct about performance and to be punished if we do not perform. We know that by instinct too. Therefore, as a result in our flesh nature, guilt, shame, fear. And what else comes from this basic instinct in our normal flesh nature? Arrogance and pride. Because you do perform. So you got both ends from the flesh nature playing off of the basic instinct. And last time we spent a lengthy amount of time for the number of passages. I just want to read them quickly. If you want to look along to get into it tonight, Romans 2:12. That's so important. Romans 2:12, for all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law. Gentiles and all who have sinned under the law, Jews, will be judged by the law. Two categories of people on earth, Gentiles and Jews. Gentiles have the law. Gentiles do not have the law. Jews have the law. Verse 13, for not the hearers of the law are just before God. That's the Jews. Jews thought this by having the law, knowing the law, they were holy and just before God. But the doers of the law will be justified. For when the Gentiles do not have the law, for when Gentiles, who do, verse 14, this is very important, who do not have the law, do instinctively the things of the law. These, not having the law, are a law to themselves. People, we know law by instinct. Do and do, performance, reward, punishment, we know all this by instinct. In that they know the work of the law, look where it is, look what it says, written in their hearts. Instinct, you're born with this. Their conscience bearing witness and their thoughts alternately accusing or else defending. And we spend time looking at this whole thing. I didn't spend a lot of time talking about the way children grow up. This is so true. Those parents know this. We all know this. There's an instinct of right and wrong. And then we looked at Colossians 2, verse 1. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf. And for those who are at Laodicea, and for all those who have not personally seen my face, face to face with him, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love. Now, we spent some time here looking at how under Paul's system, what is Paul's system for being knitted together in love? It's the gospel system, being united together in love by faith in the Holy Spirit, and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance, not financial wealth, spiritual wealth, the full assurance of understanding resulting in a true knowledge, oh boy, a lot of people think they have knowledge of God. True knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself, figuring it all out. I thought I knew about him, but this whole study has just made so many things so vividly real. In whom, Jesus Christ, verse 3, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with persuasive argument. Oh, boy, that's where we kind of stayed straight off then. Closed down last week. Now, who will be doing this? The false teachers. False teachers. Sometimes they're believers. Sometimes they're not. They're under Satan. And these are the ones that those that the Jude was talking about verbally attacking, that which they do not even understand. This is who they attack, but they're doing the work of Satan. And how do these false teachers do it? How do they deceive? With persuasive arguments. The NIV puts it another way for us. Fine sounding arguments. Now, what is a persuasive argument? What is a fine sounding argument? People, one that's taken from the Bible. That's the best argument you can find if you can go into the Bible. That's why Isaiah 28 is so important, because the false teaching comes out of the Bible. We have a little here and a little there, do and do, rule upon rule, little here and a little there. Go find it here, go find it there. And then you can go show people, see, it says in the Bible you got to do the law. Says in the Bible you got to obey the Ten Commandments. Says in the Bible you got to do this. It's the most persuasive argument there is. Because just on the surface, it's difficult to say, well, I know that's what it said, but it ain't what it means. No, that isn't what it says. It's what it says. So a persuasive argument is one that just is taken. If I come in and give you arguments that are not even bounded in the Bible, those aren't very persuasive. People like to have you thinking that these false teachers that Jude is talking about are like these Episcopalians and these homosexuals that want to be preachers and all of this thing, supporting queers behind the pulpit and all this type of thing. People, there's no sound reasoning argument for that. Nobody's going to buy into that has any brains that goes to the Bible. But boy, when you start teaching works, a gospel of works, and a salvation of works, and a spirituality where man does something, it's from the Bible. It's sound. People, remember, the false teachers want to look good. They want to sound good. They want to look like light. Want to look like light. A false teacher is not one who comes in and teaches, let us go sin, let us be immoral. No, they come in and they say, let's be good, let's be really good and obey the law to the letter, increasing sin. A persuasive argument then must come from the Scriptures. It must sound good. False gospel on to be saved. Well, you've got to make him Lord. You've got to invite him in your heart. You've got to do that. You've got to change your life. You've got to commit. And on and on and on. And we'll go to the Bible and work all of this false gospel out and show you how sound it sounds. Reasoning of man. How to come out of sin as Christians into the light. You committed some sin by repentance, by confession. By doing this, by doing that, by feeling sorry, and boy, we're going to go to the Bible and we're going to show you. It's a sound argument. Persuasive arguments that take away from the truth of the gospel. Takes away the form, the pattern, the system of the gospel. Galatians 1:6, we looked at that. I am amazed that you so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. Now, he's talking to believers. We live by that gospel model, which is really not another. What does that mean? It's not going to save. It's not going to deliver. It's not going to accomplish anything. Only there are some false teachers who are disturbing you. These are the people who do Satan's work, the false teachers who are doing Satan's work. We've been looking at in Jude and want to distort the gospel of Christ. How do you distort the gospel of Christ? It's not by faith. It's by confession. It's by repentance. It's by being sorry. It's by obeying. It's by doing. It's by this. It's by that. And you distort the gospel. People, they don't take you away from the gospel. False teachers don't take you away from the gospel. They don't take you to Muhammad and Buddha and all this Muslim and all this other evil stuff going on. No, they stay with the gospel. They just distort it. You just twist it just a little bit. And it sounds good what they do to it. Which is really not another gospel. Only there are some who are disturbing you in your Christian walk of faith and want to distort the gospel of Christ. Colossians chapter 1, verse 4. I say this in order that no one may delude you, deceive you with the persuasive arguments. The persuasive arguments. And then we looked at verse 3. In whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. People, be careful. As we leave this section now, be careful of false teachers who use the Bible for their persuasive arguments. I'll take you a little here and I'll take you a little there. This is not wisdom from God, but a perversion of His wisdom. Job's three friends are geniuses at it. Cain, Balaam, they're great at just doing enough twisting of truth. Look with me at James chapter 3. We didn't do this. Look at James chapter 3. James chapter 3. James chapter 3, and I just want to read. No, I'm not going to work on it, but James chapter 3, look at verse 13. And I wanted you to appreciate why this keeps coming up. Who, verse 13 of James 3, who among you is wise? Why is that so important? People, we want to figure out who can figure it all out. This is the main issue. We want to figure who can figure it out. See, Satan says, I am like God. And he's trying to figure God out. And that's why it's so important. And then I'm going to buy you a new Bible for Christmas.
I've already got it on my Christmas.
Bless her. You look like mine up here. We got us loose leaf Bibles, and that's supposed to be loose leaf Bibles. Okay. The great battle is this wisdom. Who can figure it out? We want to try to figure it out. Who can be smart? And we're impressed with the smart, intelligent, great people with their minds. And they lead us astray. They lead us astray. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and lie against the truth. This wisdom of the false teachers on earth is not that which comes down from above. People, he's talking about the wisdom that people use to try to teach a false gospel. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above. It's earthly. Look at the three things. It's earthly. It's natural. It's demonic. It's related to the earth. It appeals to our basic instinct, natural. And Satan uses it. In Satan's lie, and in getting the false teachers. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, why does he keep talking about that? That's what our basic instinct leads to advance, to be better than somebody. To always be competing, watching, jealousy and selfish ambition exist. There is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, reasonable. What is that? Just trust me. I'm God. See how that's peaceable and gentle? We don't compete with each other. My faith's better than your faith. I got saved by better faith than you, and you'd laugh. That's the beauty of it. We're all saved by that same faith. We're restored by the same faith. In the Holy Spirit, we live by it. It's just pure. It's peaceable. It's gentle. It's reasonable in the spiritual realm. It's full of mercy. People, the wisdom of basic instinct, law, and performance is not merciful. If you do not perform, you get punished. That's not merciful. Good fruits. Unwavering. Without hypocrisy. Because why is it without hypocrisy? Because it doesn't depend on us. It doesn't depend on us. Now, turn with me back to Colossians 1. Let's close down that. Go back to Colossians 1 and let's close that down and move on in our study. Colossians chapter 1. And we're in verse 2. Not Colossians 1, I'm sorry. Colossians chapter 2. And let's see. Yeah. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 2, is that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, attaining in all wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is, Christ Himself, in whom are hidden the treasures of wisdom and true knowledge. Verse 4, I say this in order that no one delude you or deceive you with persuasive arguments, because they're taken from the Scriptures by the false teachers. Under Satan's system, they sound so good and so right. Verse 5, for even though I am absent in the body, nevertheless I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline. What he means by that, orderly assembly. And this, remember, when you think of that, you might want to think to see how that pleases Paul when you think about what was going on in Corinth, where they were drinking and eating, and while some other people were poor and eating nothing. So that kind of impressed him when everybody's having orderly assembly. And the stability of your faith in Christ. Question, is Paul worried about their initial faith in Christ? Is that what this refers to, their initial saving faith in Christ? No. Paul is not worried about their initial faith in Christ. He is not worried that it may be weakening or gone, and then they would lose their salvation. This is not what would worry Paul. People, you cannot lose salvation. Paul's not worried about that. So what is this faith that Paul is talking about? He's talking about their walk. Same thing he's talking about in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. That's what he's talking about when he talks about you've gone to another gospel that is not another gospel. Only there are some who seek to disturb you and distort the gospel. That's what he's talking about here, their walk in life. That's what he's dealing with here. Now, if this is exactly what Paul is talking about, look at the next verse. Because he confirms what we just said. Verse 6, as, you might say, so then, you who were saved under the gospel of grace through faith, look now, you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord. Now, how did you receive Him? By faith. How did you do that? By faith. So, walk in Him, continue to walk in Him, continue to live this way, walk this way. This is what Paul is talking about. So, believer, when the false teachers come and teach that you have to do something, no matter how persuasive it may sound, and I sure bit on it, and I know multitudes of Christians bite on just different ones. I came out of one movement. There are all kinds of movements where denominations or men can make something just sound so powerfully right. And there's just no way you're anyone's going to talk you out of it. As I've learned, you just can't until you're ready to see. You're ready to see because they sound so biblically correct. You just stand still and just let the Holy Spirit work. False teachers will always come. Jesus said they've always had them and they're always going to have them. They're always going to be here to lead you away from the truth of the gospel. To lead us away. That's what Galatians 5:1. Don't turn there, but let me read it. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not subject again to the yoke of slavery. How and why would I do that? Because I get under a false teacher who sounds so good. It sounds so right. Charismatic. Works. Performance. Doing. It can be a lot of different things. We just have, how do you know then? You just got to stand back and be sure you understand what the genuine looks like. How do I know if somebody's just giving me a counterfeit bill? You've got to know what the real bill looks like. That's what you've got to know. One of the most interesting movies that I saw was the movie Catch Me If You Can. And I'm sorry I've forgotten the man's name, but it was a true story. And he was thrown in, finally caught. It's a great movie. And they finally did capture him in France. And he was put in maximum security. It was just a young guy. It was, I think, 19 or 20, wasn't he? About 19 or 20, because they said, even though you're a juvenile, I'm putting you in as a trying as an adult, putting you in maximum security. Anyway, they came to him, Well, actually, they didn't come to him. It was by accident. The man, they developed a friendship. And anyway, the long and short of it is, was he started working for the FBI. And the most important thing of all is, what does the genuine look like? If you know what the genuine looks like, because sometimes he would just take paper and he'd say, no, it's wrong paper. Sometimes he'd feel the edge. No, it's not. It doesn't have the right edge. Sometimes he would look at the way the printing was. Sometimes he'd look at the ink. If you know what the truth looks like, and people, what you've got to do. Now, here's a guy dealing, these people deal with counterfeits and this type of deal, so they're on the ball. But you and I've got to do it. You turn on the radio. Well, I think I'll listen to this preacher. I think I'll listen to this person. And you listen, and that's fine. I don't tell people who they can listen to or what they can't. But you want to, if you do that, you want to be sharp. I hope you never go to a movie for to learn something of truth. But if you turn on a radio or read a book or something in the spiritual realm, how am I going to identify? How am I going to know? You know, this sounds really good. I've got to have something in the truth, the authentic. What's the authentic? The gospel. The gospel. So that you don't go to another one with these false teachers. Because, and why is this, why are we so prone to go to it? Okay. Why are we so prone to take the counterfeit money? Because we want the money. Why are we so prone to go to a counterfeit teaching? Because we want to perform. And this sounds pretty good. This appeals to me. This is what I like. You got to be morally good. Okay, well, that appeals to me. I'm a naturally moral person. Well, you've got to learn a lot of Bible doctrine. Well, that appeals to me. That would be the thing that would make me honorable before God, because I like to use my brain. You've got to have a charismatic experience. Well, that appeals to me because I enjoy my emotions and do that. And if that's going to make me right with God, that's great. You've got to serve God. Well, that sounds like that's what would get me close to God. That's what I like to do. So when people come across that you might listen to with a false teaching, it's going to appeal to your basic instinct of performance and be rewarded for it before God. And punishment if you don't. And you can say, I can do that. I can be moral. I can learn doctrine. I can have charismatic experiences. I can serve God. I can do that for God. See? So whatever they may say, so what I'm just saying is it's our basic instinct to want that to be right. So we've got to be careful and listen. So when you listen to these men, you've got to listen with a sound ear. You just don't be persuaded. Look at verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in Him. Verse 7, having been firmly rooted. People, that's what you want to be, firmly rooted in the gospel. Be firmly rooted in the gospel, and you won't be led astray. Get away from the gospel just a little bit, and you can be led astray. It's what happened in Pergamum. Remember, that's why we're here, is because of Pergamum. All right. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith. That's what Jude is all about, fighting for faith. Just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. Fruits of the Holy Spirit. Fruits of the Holy Spirit. Colossian believers demonstrated this gratitude by supporting Paul, is what he's dealing with. When you appreciate what a man's doing, you support him. That's what he's dealing with. But here what we're talking about is, don't listen to certain men who, with good sounding arguments, biblically sounding arguments, teach you something that's just a little bit distortion of the gospel by which you were saved. Don't be deceived by these men, because they're going to appeal to your basic instinct. They will sound like light. This is what it's all about. Sounding like light. Satan wants to figure it all out. He can be wise. This is what this whole battle about is through human history. This is why God said of Satan, if he could figure it all out in the wisdom, what would have happened? He would not have crucified Jesus Christ. He would not have crucified Christ. But he couldn't figure it out. He thought he could. He thought he could play the game. And he got trapped. Got trapped by his own basic instinct, but he got trapped. And so you don't want to listen. You're entered by faith, you live by faith. Why not listen? And why is their argument so persuasive? Please get this in your mind. They appeal to our natural instinct. This is another reason you want to stay in the power of the Spirit by faith. And boy, there's just sometimes you're getting ready to walk into no man's land. You're getting ready to pick up a book. You're getting ready to watch something on TV. You're visiting a friend's church. You're listening to somebody, a friend, or whatever. Boy, you just want to be in full alertness in the power of the Spirit. You want to be in the new man. Because the basic instincts of the natural man would be works. The basic instincts of the new man is faith. And you just say no. And I'm not saying argue with your friends and make an issue about it and all that. Just in your own soul you can smile. No. This isn't just faith. This is not the truth of the gospel. Just another reason why we want to be in the Holy Spirit. The new man. People, your new man is repulsed by having to do something for God. Does that make sense to you? Your new man's just repulsed. No, that's not going to work. That's not going to work to try to do that. That's not the way God's going to deal with me. I'm going to bring to God my very best because I want something from God. And your new man just laughs. No way. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to walk up and just say, Father, here's my prayer request. Because you're my Father. Abba. But the flesh nature wants to perform, wants to earn, wants to deserve, and then wants to fear when it's done wrong. So the new man nature is repulsed by having to do something for God. So you want to be in the new man. You want to stay with the gospel pattern. Now we come to the basic instinct of man. In verse 8, look at verse 8 with me. It's in Colossians. See to it that no one takes you captive. See to it that no... Do you get it over and over now? Be deluded or deceived? And now what does he say? Captive. That no one take you captive. Now look what it says. How? Through philosophy and empty deception. You know what the NIV says here? Through hollow and deceptive philosophy. According to the tradition of man. Stop right there. What is the basic instinct of man? Performance. What's the tradition of man? Performance. That's the tradition of man. That is what it's talking about here. Some philosophy that sounds right to our flesh nature. But to our spiritual nature, you go, no, 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 no. I did not earn or deserve anything from Christ at the cross. I'm not going to in my life. But the flesh nature wants to earn and work for God. According to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world. Now, what are the elementary principles of the world? Performance and be rewarded or punished. People, that's a fundamental principle of the world. You deserve what you get. You're going to get punished if you get out of line. It's a basic fundamental. You're going to have to pay your commons for what you do. Individual responsibility. People, that's a fundamental philosophical concept. It's a philosophical concept. It's a philosophical concept that many preachers preach from the pulpit. It's philosophy of man taught from the pulpit. Individual responsibility. I ask you, did any of you get what you deserved at the cross? Anybody here get what you deserved at the cross? Absolutely not. There goes the tradition of man. There goes that fundamental philosophy of man. The traditions of man. They lose ground. And I want to tell you something, people. A very smart, genius type of person can stand up here and tell you why, though, that's not... No, no, no. It applies in the Christian realm. Da, 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 da. And you'll sit here and you'll be just led astray by it. And I will just sit there and be overwhelmed myself. They're so good at it. Aristotle could stand up here and just persuade me. And as I stand there and just cringe my nose up in the air and go, no, no, it's just faith. And that's what I'd have to do. Because he would sound so convincing. The smarter, the more genius, the more carefully he can lay it all out. People, you've got to understand the false teachers. according to the traditions of men. I want to read the verse. See to it that no, verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, basic instinct, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. And what is it according to Christ? Grace through faith, not performance. This is what we are born into in the world. Basic instincts, basic knowledge, traditions of men, elementary principles, elementary principles. Oh, dear people, I'm sure that regardless of the type of home, I would think that all so many people, I can't say everyone, but so many people grew up in a home, you do wrong, you get spanked, you learn this very, it's a basic elementary principle. You broke that, you're going to pay for it. You did this, you're going to pay for it. And when I grew up with this whole thing, oh, well, I'll go broke if I told you, here's my word is my bond, and if I told you I'd do it, I would do it. And just we're born with this instinctive honor of performance. Get what you deserve and all of this type of thing, and that's what crushed Job. That's what'll crush any Christian. We do have these basic principles of the world by instinct, people. They're part of our flesh nature from birth. It's written in our heart to perform. By the way, anything come to your mind with that phrase? See to it that no one takes you captive. Does that ring that word, that concept ring a phrase of any verse in the Bible we've looked at? Huh? Isaiah 28 is exactly what happened. Take it captive. What happened? You go to it, and then you stumble, you fall backward. See, look at it just very quickly. I love looking at it. I'll never get tired of looking at Isaiah 28. And the last verse, last verse in our study, verse 13. So the word of God, that the word of the Lord, that's the gospel, to them will become distorted. Do and do, rule and rule, little here and little there. That's what it'll become. Why? That they may go and stumble backward, be broken, snared, and taken captive. And that's what will happen. They'll be taken captive. It's very powerful in light of this study. Why, that answers the question again. Why would God make His gospel sound like works? Why would God do that? Why would God make His gospel sound like do and do, rule and rule, rule and rule, so that you'll get captured? And you'll say, wait a minute, like Job, you'll fall apart. This isn't working. This isn't working. What's going on? This is supposed to be the way it all is. And then you'll say, come to grace. You'll say, come to grace. Now, here's something else. Go back to Colossians 2, please. Here's something else important, especially in our study of those that are studying stress, anxiety, and depression, sad with me. Only in Christ is this basic instinct broken. This is beautiful. This is liberating. Only in Christ is the basic instinct broken. That's why you want to know who you are in Christ, believe who you are in Christ, live who you are in Christ, and you break the basic instinct. When you are in Jesus Christ, your basic instinct will be what? To love as He loved. Now what is your basic instinct in the new man in Christ? To love as He loved. To lay down your life, to restore another believer, becomes a basic instinct. Becomes something that is natural to the new man, not to the old man, to the flesh man, but to the new man. Look at Colossians 2, verse 20. This is beautiful. Colossians chapter 2, look at verse 20. But first let's look at 19 leading into it. Chapter 2, verse 19. And not holding fast to the head, from which the entire body being supplied and held together by the joints and ligaments, grows with growth, which is from God. Now verse 20. If you, or really, since you, since you have died with Christ, look what it says, to the elementary principles of the world. Basic instinct. When your flesh nature is crucified with Christ, your basic instincts are also crucified with Christ. Okay? What are these in the context? Not immorality. Not sexual immorality, but law. Do and do by basic instincts of man. To work. To be rewarded. So he says, since you have died with Christ to the elementary principles of the world, performance and being rewarded or punished, why, if you were living in the world, as if living in the world, do you submit yourselves to decrees? Why do you put yourself back under these elementary principles? In Christ, your flesh nature was crucified, dead. Why then do you submit to the basic instincts and go back under performance? One reason is that many are led there by their pastors, false teachers who teach law, who teach a system of do and do, do and do. So verse 20, let's just read a little bit. Verse 20, since you have died with Christ to the elementary, that's your basic instinct, the performance of the world rules, why, as if you were living in the world, do you submit yourself to decrees such as do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, which all refer to things destined to perish with the using, in accordance with the commandments and teachings of men? What men? By the way, what men? False teachers. Verse 23, these are matters which have to be sure to, please look. These are matters which have to be sure the appearance of what? Wisdom. What does that mean? They sound good. They sound good to us. Oh, let's control the body. Don't touch this. Don't drink that. Don't eat that. Don't smoke this. Don't do this. Don't do that. That'll make you a great Christian before God. They sound good. They have the appearance of wisdom. Why do they have the appearance of wisdom? Because they appeal to our basic instinct. They appeal to us. Don't you always like when somebody comes along and says something that confirms what you already feel and think? Yeah, we all do. That's one of the best things a good speaker can do, is get you to start doing what? As a group of people, a mob or a group of people, shake your head. Just all you do, just start good. And then he goes to another, and then another point. And then pretty soon you're shaking your head and you don't even know what he's talking about. But boy, it sounds good and you're there. And you're ready to go, you know, you're ready to go burn down Frankenstein's castle. Because he's made you convinced of something. But he starts off with some basic instinct things, some basic things that make you feel, and you walk out, boy, and you're ready to do whatever. See? So when he starts doing it, we've got to be so careful. They sound so good, which have that sound. They sound right. Verse 23. These are matters which have to be sure. Don't shun them off. They do sound to a lot of people. All these mandates and rules and you sow what you reap what you sow and all this kind of stuff and boy, you get what you deserve and none of it sounds so good. The appearance of wisdom. What is it? Persuasive arguments from the Bible. Look what it says. In self-made religion. What does this mean? Self-made religion. What is this? What is self-made religion? Go back to the Isaiah 28. What's a self-made religion? Do and do, isn't it? That's a self-made religion. Do and do, rule on rule, little here, little there. So each denomination, each man or denomination, all right, we've got a little here, a little there in the Bible. Well, we've got a little here, a little there from the Bible, and here's our list of what you do and do, and rule on rule. And on down the line, that's why he says, is self-made religion, but it comes from the Bible. Now, look what it says. Self-made religion and self-abasement, severe treatment of the body. Oh, people, there are so many preachers, the human body is dirty and sinful and wrong, and stay away from these things and control your body. Control your body under the law and you'll be right with God. People, they don't teach immorality, but what they teach increases immorality. That's what Jude is saying. The false teachers don't teach immorality. They teach absolute law, which increases immorality. Then it says at the end of verse 23, but are of no value against fleshly indulgence. Not only do they not help in restraining the indulgence, they actually increase it. Do you see what it says? But are of no value against fleshly indulgence. They increase it. That's what the law does. What does the law do? The law increases sin. What does the law do? The law kills. It's what the law is designed to do. It's how you get a church to sin more and more. Basic instincts of man is law and being rewarded for it. This is what is going on. Now, I want to go to the next passage, but it takes us into the whole next thought. And so let's just don't do that. We'll save it and start right here next Tuesday night. Is this going for y'all? Is this work? I just would really like to know, because I'm excited about this stuff, where we are, what we're seeing, as far as the whole package being put together and why we just so readily accept other type of teaching that just strays from the gospel just a little bit, but sounds so, so good. It's a basic religion of man. What a powerful passage we're looking at. Okay. Any questions on it? Okay, I wish y'all want to talk about it. I just love it. But anyway, let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we praise you. We praise you that you're the kind of God who, when you look down at our basic instincts, just you didn't just shake your head and say, to hell with them. You look down at us in our basic instincts and you loved us. And you said, I'm going to redeem them out of that hell. I'm going to redeem them out of the hell of the bondage of their own instincts. Not with the law, but with grace. Not with bondage, but with love. Mercy. Not with the power of the flesh, but the power of the Holy Spirit. What an awesome God you are. Father, it's so easy to get slip into the flesh for us. You know that. Your Son has been tested and tried in every way we have. It's so easy. Pray, Father, your Spirit will just use these things to keep convicting and keep prodding us to walk in the Spirit. Stay out of the flesh. Stay with grace. Stay abiding in your love. Father, we praise you for the God you are. In your Son's precious name. Amen.